So we're at the point in the text where he says, you feel a sense of satisfaction that your job is finished, that what you set out to do is finished. Gawagom. By the way, in that sense of satisfaction or happiness, what's like between satisfaction and happiness? Yeah, contented or... Like after you did a good job at something hard. I don't know. Fulfilled, maybe. But the verb is gom also. You gom. You meditate on contentment, okay? Everyone's enlightened now. I did my job. Gawa gom. Deni semke debu lamche denga ki kingor gyalchok de dangnamba tun shing penyun da. This way of developing the wish to help all beings, the vision, the Spider-Man vision, is where you use the goal as a path. You imagine you are already enlightened, and then you work towards getting enlightened. I imagine in a dance it must be the same, that you first you fake the character, you pretend you're the character, and then on time it grows on you, and you become that thing. It's the same idea. Lamche de ngaki kingor kingor gyalchok. This is a special practice he mentions. Kingor gyalchok means the supreme king or victor of a secret world. And there's a practice in tantra where you take on the form of a special being who's in the center of a mandala. Kingkor means mandala. Mandala came into Spanish as mundo, okay? The world, secret world, okay? So you come, there's a practice in Tantra where you are at the center of a mandala and you purify all the beings around you. And that's called Kingkor Gyalchok, the supreme king of a mandala. He says, this practice that I just gave you is similar to that secret one which I cannot give you. Okay? And the benefits, he said, penyundra means the benefits are similar. The same sort of karma. You're planting the same karmic seeds. Okay, penyundra. Shendu korwa tondru dan. Riktuk ne jong so sumbe dunyan dila tsangwe sabne kyepa chen yin. This Lamrim meditation that we just did, it's also similar to two other tantric practices. One is called Korwa Tongduk, which is a very, very weird, rare name of a tantric deity. Korwa means sansara, suffering world. Tong means a pit in the ground, a big pit. That you would put a barbecue in or something like that, okay? That you dig the dirt down and it's like... In India they had that for yogis. They would dig a pit and it had a little like beehive top on it and you would crawl in there and sit there for a couple hours and meditate in the dark. So that's a tong. Tong means that. Tong tuk. Tuk means to... Like if you're having tea and there's tea leaves on the bottom of the cup. When you serve Chinese tea to a Tibetan Lama, they'll say, don't tuk the tea leaves, you know. Bring the cup slowly and carefully so that the leaves don't get, what do you call it? Stirred up. Tong tuk means the deity who stirs up the pit. And it means they clean out the garbage. They clean out the dregs at the bottom and they clean up samsara. They make every being enlightened. So that's a special deity. Someday you can learn about it. Okay. There's a lot of things, right? Kawa tongdru. It's a nice practice. That's considered another form of Avalokiteshvara, which is who the Dalai Lama is supposed to be. Okay. Who the Dalai Lama is. Okay, Riktuk Nejong means, and there's another tantric deity called the one who purifies the lands of the six forms of life. the one who purifies the lands of the six forms of life. Again, a person who cleans out samsara, who cleans out the world. Okay. So he's just comparing those to those secret practices. Dilat Sangwe Sabne Kepatayin. All of the important points of those secret practices are complete in this meditation. So that's pretty cool. You didn't even have to have an initiation. Okay. Tene. By the way, you can't teach Tantra unless you do give an initiation. Okay. Just, of course, right? You know that. You can't practice it. You can't read it. You can't. Somebody has to give you a seal of approval, right? Okay. Tene tseme shi gombala. So now we've reached what Johnny O was teaching, the four infinite thoughts or the four limitless thoughts or whatever you want to call it. It's a very, very foundational practice of Buddhism. It's one of the most fundamental practices of all of Buddhism. We've taught it a lot in the last 10 years. Because we had a big campaign to teach people in yoga studios why they were there by teaching them the Yoga Sutras, which are not a Buddhist text, but supposed to not be a Buddhist text, but reading it, the Sanskrit, it has all been lifted from Buddhism. And that's fine. That's the old tradition, is you don't write a book, you lift the best. You know, it's like you're a DJ, right, Anatole? Like, what do? They take little cuts out of songs and they loop them. And what do they call that? Is there a word for it? I don't know.
Mixing.
You call it mixing?
Sampling.
Sampling. I heard it on NPR. I don't know much about it. They're like, this is so cool, man. Like the best bass player has been dead for 12 years, but you just loop some of his stuff. And then you take the best of everybody and you loop it. So that's the very much a Buddhist tradition, and it's very much an Indian tradition. They don't consider originality very important. You know, the goal of a spiritual guide is to give you a good mix that you can relate to, of the best music of the last 2,000, 3,000 years. You see what I mean? They don't have to make up some new thing. There's no pressure on Buddhists to make up a new thing. Since the guy who taught the older stuff was enlightened, it's probably okay. You know? So anyway, Yoga Sutra is very much a mix of teachings that were hot around the 3rd century. Okay. So anyway, in there is the Tsemeshi, the four immeasurable, or the four infinite practices. Okay. So at this point, traditionally, in preparing for a meditation, you just took refuge, right? And you did some bodhicitta work. And now you would do a little bit of four infinite thought work, okay? You would do a little bit of that. Semeshi gombala. So here we go. Da ki semchen nam tetar kope mpa chepa tsama to ngusu tetar gyoma tupati kangi lena. He does a cute segue between the I'm already a Buddha meditation to I wish everyone could get enlightened meditation, okay? And he says, that meditation we just did was only a fantasy. It was only imagined, right? Detar ngusitar tupa, detar kyur matupa, but I'm not capable in my present condition. I'm not capable of enlightening everybody. I don't have that power. I can pretend and I can fantasize about it, but I don't really have that power yet. Kangi Len, those of you studying Tibetan, that Len is very rare. Len normally means an answer. L-E-N, which is often mistaken for L-A-N, means to take, like Tonglen. But this Len is a totally different word, and it means to be the fault of. Kangi Len means, so whose fault is that? That I don't have the ability to help countless beings right now. Okay, Kangi Len, na means if you ask. Rang Chokla Chakpa Dang, Shen Chokla Dangwa. Rang Chokla Chakpa means, I have a certain attachment to people I like or my friends, and then shencho la dangwa, and I have a certain lack of caring for people who are not my friends. Okay, and we are prejudiced in towards our friends. We treat our family and our friends differently than we treat people that we don't like. Okay. Dangwa dilen. Dilen means that's why. That's why you're not a Buddha. Dilen. You want to know why you're not a Buddha? That's why you're not a Buddha. Dilen ba. Be therefore dena semchen tamje nirin cha dan ta we ta no ne ba. Chi ma rung. So now he goes off on let's learn equanimity. Let's learn to be equal to everybody. Let's be equally. Some people heard of equanimity and they think it means equally mean to everybody. it's equally nice to everybody, okay? So then they begin the first of the four infinite thoughts. So in the order presented in this text, upeksha, overlooking differences, right, comes first. And they say that's because it's a good place to start from. At least feel equal towards everybody, you know, and then start to try to develop compassion and deeper feelings about that. Mm. By the way, I forgot to tell you that you're going to teach her the four steps, okay, in the next couple of days. Generic. Okay. That's Mercedes, that's learning. Okay. So there's a tradition, and he assumes that all of his listeners know how to do the four infinite thoughts. So he doesn't go over it, okay? So I would like to go over it, and it's on your homework, and it will keep you busy for most of tomorrow, and you won't get in trouble. Parents have to do that, right, Nancy? Okay, so each of the four has four steps, okay? So we learned in the Yoga Sutra, Maitri, Karuna, Mudito, Peksha, right? We studied those four infinite thoughts. But the Tibetan tradition and the Buddhist tradition as it has developed is much richer, and you go very deep into each one of them. So there's a lot more detail in each one of them. So we're going to go through the detail now. Okay, you ready? And I'm going to quote a book called Delam. All right? Because that's a good place to learn this. Someone chose that very wisely. All right? They have the best presentation of the four infinite thoughts in there. Here we go. Semjen tamje nirin cha dan dan trawe tanyon la nena chi marung. So the first part of the first of the four is how nice it would be if people could reach a place of equanimity towards everybody, feel equal towards everybody, how nice it would be. Chi marung means how nice it would be. Then traditionally we say nepar kyorchik. Nepar kyorchik means that's the way it should be. Okay. So is there a difference between how nice it would be and that's the way? By the way, Nick, this is not up here. I'm quoting something else. I'm quoting Delam. How nice it would be is one feeling, right? Then you say it should be. You know, you go from how nice it would be to it should be, okay? Should be like that. Everybody should be like that. Nepa kyorching. Then the third step. Nepa taki chao. I will take responsibility that it happens. I personally will see that it happens. The buck stops here, okay? Ultimately, all the problems park here, okay? And you have to learn to take responsibility like that. Okay, so when the poop hits the fan, all the problems come to one person. That's okay. I'll do it. I'm happy to do that. Okay? Daki chao. I'll do it. That's what do they call that? Laksam, right? Laksam. In Tibetan, it's called Laksam. Okay, give me all the problems, you know. If you saw the born legacy as you were supposed to, one of the secret agents says, we are the sin eaters. Meaning all the messes in the CIA, they take care of them. You know, the responsibility comes to them, and it's nasty work, but they do it. Okay, Dakicha did it. Then the last part, the fourth part is, Detar che nyupar lama le jingi lap to sul, may my lama, who is my angel, give me the power to do it. I'm asking my lama, who is my angel, give me the power to do it. Okay. So every one of the four infinite thoughts has four steps inside of it. First it's like, wouldn't that be cool? And then it's like, dang, it should be like that. And then third is like, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. You guys don't have to worry. You know, the rest of the class can relax. I'll save the world. You know? And then the fourth one is, like, wait a minute, that's a pretty big job. then you're like, Lama, help me out here, you know? Can you help me a little bit? Like that. There's four. It's a progression to get to the infinite thought, okay? It's beautiful, all right? Pabongkab Rinpoche gives each of those steps a separate name, so I thought I would share the name with you, okay? And he calls them four infinites also. So there's going to be two sets of four infinites, okay? All right. The first one is called infinite equanimity, right? In general, we just talked about infinite equanimity, which is the first of the four infinite thoughts. But it has another name, which is, let me find that. You could say infinite wishing, okay? The first of the four steps is infinite wishing. How nice it would be is called infinite wishing. That's the first of the four stages to infinite equanimity, okay? Got it? It's a little confusing. There's infinite equanimity, and it has four steps. The first of the four steps is infinite wishing. How nice it would be. What comes after how nice it would be? Yeah, it should be like that. It must be like that. It's like a decision, okay? That's called infinite praying, munlam, okay? Infinite praying. It should be. Then I will take care of it. I'll see that it happens. It's easy, right? What's that? Laksam. Infinite personal responsibility. The buck stops here. I'll take care of it. Okay. I'll make sure everyone learns equanimity. Okay. Then the fourth part is called Sundep Infinite. Semi, what? Nimbo Sundep, Suwandep. You can say like a request or a supplication. I like supplication. It's kind of corny old Christian language, but it fits perfect. Sundep means, please help, you know, this is a big job, Lama. Maybe I might need a little help. You know when your dad gave you some, I don't know. You told your mom you could bake a cake yourself, and then she's like, okay, you go ahead. And then after about 2 minutes, you're like, how much flour do you put in there? You know, like, then you need help. So those are the four steps. They repeat for each of the four infinite thoughts, okay? Chimarung, how nice it would be. Detar kyur, it should be like that. Daki chao, I'll take care of it. And then, I need help. Lama, help me do it. Give me the power. Give me the power. Okay. Each of the four infinite thoughts, those four repeat. Okay. So let's go through the four infinite thoughts now. So the first one was equanimity. In the Buddhist version of it, okay. And there's a reason for the Yoga Sutra order of it also. It's not wrong. It's just a different reasoning for it, okay? Then the next one is Semjen tamje dewa dan dewe gyudan dena chima rung, which is infinite love, okay? How nice, by the way, which in Tibetan is called Jampa and in Sanskrit is called Maitri. And then Maitreya means the person who has that, right? So Maitri. May every living creature possess happiness. May every living creature possess happiness. Somehow these four got into the yoga community. You can hear them sometimes in a yoga class in Santa Monica or something, in some kind of strange version of it. But that's okay. May all beings have happiness. But then, in the Buddhist tradition, you must add, and the seeds for happiness. Okay. May they possess happiness and the causes of happiness. Okay. So we make a big deal about causes and the result of the causes. Okay. Well, I'll talk more about it when we get to the third infinite thought. Okay. It'll make more sense in the third infinite thought. So how nice it would be if everyone were happy and had the causes of happiness. Okay. Then secondly, it should be like that. It should happen. Third, I'll make it happen myself. And that's laksam means two things. A, even if nobody helps me, I'll take care of it. B, even if they fight me, I'll take care of it. Even if they criticize me and hurt me, I'll still take care of them. Okay? I'll still take care of it. That's like real responsibility. No matter how bad the kids act, I'll still feed them, you know. And even if they eat junk food, I'll still sneak good food in. You know what I mean? Like, even if they work against my purposes, I will still help them. Okay. Fourth one? Yeah, Lama, please help me to make everyone happy. Okay. All right. Third infinite thought is Karuna. What's the... We have Ukrainian. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, what's the Ukrainian word or the Russian word for a cover or a roof? Krisha? Yeah, Krisha. So in Slavic languages, Krisha means a covering, meaning a protection, okay? Like, what's the hood of a car? The covers the engine of a car. In Russian. Anyway. Krishna. It's the same. Krishka. Yeah, so it's the same root as Karuna. Karuna, the root of Karuna came into Slavic languages as to cover or shelter or protect. And so Karuna means compassion. The willingness to protect people, the willingness to shelter people. Okay, it's very interesting. Sanskrit spread throughout the Western world, and it's the root of all languages in the Western world, from Iceland to Iran. And if you know Sanskrit well, you can pick up a newspaper in English or Spanish, it doesn't matter, and you see all Sanskrit. It's very interesting. Anyway, Karuna, or compassion, is goes like this. Semjen tamje dungyal dan dungyal ki gyudan delna chimarum. It starts out with how nice it would be if no living being had suffering or the causes of suffering. Okay? Or the causes of suffering. Now it makes a little more sense, right? There's all these business people who are hurting people, but they're rich. Okay, they're rich because of something good they did before. And right now they're hurting a lot of people. So oftentimes, in corruption, the case of corruption is like that. They are rich, they are comfortable, they have big houses, they have big cars, they have nice wives. You know, I met these guys. We teach them in some countries. But they are ruining people's lives, shooting people, they are paying off governments, they're, you know. So do they have happiness? Yes. Yeah, they have happiness. They got a big car and they have a big house. Do they have the cause of happiness? No, they're like rotten fruit, you know. They look good on the outside, and inside it's already rotting. You see what I mean? So outside they look good. Inside the causes are bad. Okay? So when you do the four infinite thoughts in ancient tradition, you say, I hope you don't have pain. Oh, I also hope you don't have any causes for pain that you're collecting right now. Meaning rich, nasty people. Like that, okay? It's not enough to go to those people and say, I hope you don't have any suffering, because they don't. But they have many causes of, they have future suffering. They're full of future suffering. They are like a big bag of future suffering. And they have this little thin layer of current pleasure, you know? So when you're praying for them, you don't say, I hope you're doing well, because they are doing well. You say, I hope you're doing well, and I hope you don't have causes to not do well tomorrow. You got it? Okay, so you have to say both. May no living being have suffering, and may no living being have the cause of suffering. Okay, how nice it would be. Then it should be like that, and then I'll take care of it. And then help me. Okay, all right. Now we reach Gawa. Okay, Tseme Gawa, which in Sanskrit in the Yoga Sutra is what. Mudita, okay, mudita. That's a long story. That's a really long story, okay, anyway. Mudita is related to myod, which is related to miel in different languages, right? What's miel? Yeah, in French, what is? Miel? Honey? Miel. Miel, yeah. In Spanish?
Miel.
Miel, yeah. In Ukrainian, miod. Yeah, they're all related. Miod comes more directly from the Sanskrit, which is mud, which means to be blissed out. Because what do they call that? When you make liquor out of things. When you ferment honey, you get mead. That's where the word mead came from. And if you don't want to get drunk, you should put an amed under your tongue. So in the ancient times, they believed that amethyst had the power to keep you from getting drunk if you kept one under your tongue while you're having a drinking contest. You can check it out sometime. So you probably just swallow it and choke on it. But anyway, you put an amethyst. So Ammath means no drunk. And then methyl alcohol came from that. So those are the roots of myod, mudita. That's the whole story of mudita in the English and Greek and Latin. And okay, meth is the Greek. So anyway, it means, mudita means joy, happiness. What happens if you drink myod, which has been fermented? And you don't have an amethyst under your tongue. Okay? And that's not what it sounds like. And people who teach the Yoga Sutra who haven't been trained, they don't understand this one. They always explain it wrong. Okay? Here's how it goes. Semjen tamje tori dan tarpe dewa damba dhamma del na chi marung. Here's how it's defined. You know? May no living being ever not go to a better world after they die. Right? May no living being not go to a better world after they die. And we talked about it yesterday, right? You have excess seeds at the end of your life. It means may nobody die with bad seeds in their mind, okay? And may they reach the happiness, the ultimate happiness of enlightenment. Okay? So that's different from just wishing that they were happy. Number two is wishing they were happy. Number four is wishing that they had ultimate happiness. Okay. So that's how mudita differs from maitri. That's how joy differs from love. In the four immeasurables, in the four infinite thoughts. Okay, got it? Then, number one, wouldn't it be nice if everybody got enlightened and didn't have to go to any bad place after they died? Then, should be like that. I'll take care of it. And Please help me. Okay. All right, got it? Now we can go to the text. Now you know enough to go to the text, okay? But you're going to have to write those 16 on your homework. Okay. All right, here we go. Therefore, we should at this point, in preparing for a meditation session, we should take our minds through the four infinite thoughts, starting with how nice it would be if people weren't prejudiced towards their friends and against their people they don't know, or people from another country, or people of another religion or race. Like, how nice it would be if everyone could learn just to be equal to everybody. Okay? Semeshi mingnamni jesu jungshing choge tsiksin semeshi really long semeshi demba chepate. Semeshi mingnamni jesu jungshing. We will talk about how to visualize this later on in the text. But in the actual wording of the prayer at this point, you repeat those four steps for each of the four, right? How nice it would be, it should be, I'll take care of it, Lama help me, okay? Meshi den chepate. Then, chimarung nyambani soso dumba tseme. When you say how nice it would be, you are expressing infinite wish, an infinite wish. When you say it should be that way, you are expressing infinite prayer. When you say Daki Chao Nyamba, I'll take care of it, then you are expressing Klaksam and the Tibetan is miscarved. Got it, Nimbo? Are you on it? It's not Pe Ma. It's BSAM. That whole smush is miscarved. Okay. It's take out the PA and it's just a B. B prefix letter before the S. And then AM. And then no ma. No ma before the tse. Yeah, okay. So that's a nasty miscarving because it makes sense. Okay? The mistake in the printing makes sense and it's wrong. Okay. So anyway, it should be Klaksam. Klaksam tse me. By the way, okay, let's go on a little detour. You ready, Jigme? I'm going to hand out something, and I'm setting you up for setting a hook later in the week, okay? But I'm not going to tell you that. Can you just hand out, start half of them that way, start half of them that way? So as we go through this carving, which was completed in the 1940s, or a little bit later, okay? Very late. It's one of the latest carvings in existence. You can see that we are correcting it all the time, okay? So the people who carved the wood blocks couldn't read, all right? And in fact, they could only carve the letters in mirror image, okay? Because it has to be a carving block. So they're like carving B backwards, and they in their mind B is goes the other way. You see what I mean? And so there's 200,000 books in Tibet of the quality of Dante, of the quality of Shakespeare or Un Hidalgo. Yeah, Don Quixote La Mancha. What's it? Un Hidalgo ingenioso. Ingenioso. An ingenious gentleman called Don Quixote. But you take the classics of our world, right? The great classics of this world. And maybe you could add Victor Hugo. What's his name? Who's the French satirist? No, too late. Earlier. The one that I like. Benjamin Franklin's friend. I don't know. Anyway, you take the great writers of every country. You take those books. There are 200,000 of those in Tibet. Every one of them is like that. It's that good, you know. Who wrote Candide? Voltaire. Yeah, okay. So you take all those great classics, and in Tibet, there's, I didn't get one. There's 200,000 of those books. Okay, this is just one of them. What you're learning is one of them. It will take 12 years to teach it. There are 200,000 of these in Tibetan. It is the treasure of the world's literature. We're not talking 10 or 20 classics. We're talking 200,000 books of the quality of this 12-year project. Right? And we're trying to save them, okay? And nobody cares. The Tibetans don't care, all right? Nobody cares. So we're like struggling. We're struggling to get it done, because they're before they're all burned, or, you know, 5,000 libraries were burned in Tibet, okay, in 1959. Yeah. I don't know why they don't care. Maybe they just haven't learned them or something. I think there's a few, okay? There's a few. Maybe one out of a thousand Tibetans cares. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know why. And they just don't think about it, you know? And those books are rotting. They're being lost. They're gone. They're going. So anyway, we've been working for 25 years. There's sort of a breakthrough happened last year. Ningbo is working on this project. And I just want to turn you on to it, okay? And then I'm going to go on. The backside is called library shelves, right? So you have 200,000 books. How do you put them on a shelf where someone can find the right book that they want in a computer, right? So here's all the books about history, and here's all the books about chemistry, and here's all the books about, I don't know, philosophy. And so how are you going to shelf the books so that people know how to find them, right? And then Ningbo has been working on this big breakthrough thing. Okay, this is a big breakthrough thing that we're doing together. On the left side, the left column, is every single subject. Every single subject of those 200,000 books is covered there. Okay, it's very beautiful. Then I thought to draw your attention to the one that's blacked out, right? About three quarters of the way down, it says Ragyud Secret Teachings Tantra, right? So when you click on Tantra, you will get the second column. And those are all the possible tantras, from P to S. Okay? Those are all the possible tantras from P to S. All right? So think 10 times more than that. And those are the names of the tantras, okay? And many of them, even the name is lost in this world. People don't even know the name of that tantra. You know what I mean? But the books are there. You know, so you can. Then we decided to break out one of them for you, which is Vajrayogini. So that was natural that we would break. This is the one that Pabongka Rinpoche taught the most. So then we put that on the third column for you. The third column is possible tantric subjects that you might cover. So like, how to, the second one, poa, means how to move your mind on after you die. The third one is how to treat your teacher. The fourth one is how to do a deep retreat. The fifth one are songs of praise to this deity. The sixth one is how to give somebody an empowerment into Vajrayogini. The sixth one is how to draw the secret mandala with sand. Okay, and each one of these will have 10 or 20 books under it. You see? And that's what we're doing. Okay. Then you've got termination, which means, that's a long story. And then like that, you can go down the list. Fire offering is there. You're going to do a fire offering on, what, Thursday night? That's called Homa in Sanskrit, right? And so Ningbo's been working in airplanes and in cars and in French cafes. On putting in the English, okay, so that you can see what's there, all right. So just it's a huge task. I mean, it will take a year or 2 years, okay. But I just thought I'd share it with you because it's really cool. It's the first time that a person who doesn't speak Tibetan can see the whole structure of those 200,000 books, you know, in English, and he's I don't know, he's about halfway through. Right? Good luck. Yeah. Anyway, why did I get off on that? It's that there's a lot of misspellings in the text. I mean, it will take another couple of years to finish cataloging, creating the subject catalogs. It will take another 150 years to input them, and it will take another 700 years to correct them. Okay, we have a plan. Okay, I'm not kidding. I mean, we figured the schedules out. Okay. All right, anyway. And we have generations of input operators. We're on our second and third generation. We've been going for 25 years. So the mothers are teaching the children when they're young. And then when they get to be like 20, they join. And the mom and the kids are working together. And then they have kids, and we're setting them up. Okay. And we're just planning for a 700-year thing. Okay, anyway, that was a big mistake. Hakpe Matse means I really don't like the four infinite thoughts. When you when you correct it, it means I'll take personal responsibility. Okay, so it's a little important work. Okay, all right. Detarche nupar lamase jingi lapte sunyambani. When you say please help me, that's infinite supplication. Okay, she. Sungyun to you means that's our oral tradition. This is how the lamas have passed it down. Okay. When they say sungyun, they mean you won't find it in the books too much. We have it in Dalam and we have it a few other places, but mostly it became an oral tradition. Okay. Sungyun to you. Yeah, let's go through. I'm going to stop in about 5 minutes and we're going to take a walk. Okay, everybody's gonna take it. I have to wait till it starts raining and then we'll. Okay, dene kepar masem chen tamje, so kepa kisem kete. Then you have to. You don't refer to all beings. You call them masem chen. What's masem chen? Mother beings. Okay. Okay. You don't say may every living being. You say may all my mothers. Okay, and you in this tradition, when you get to this point in the meditation, before you start your meditation, you don't call people. You call them moms, my moms. Okay, masam chintam chay kepa kisem kepa te. Di dang kongi teme shi sok sem sardu kepa mayin kyang sem ke ki nupa kong pel to tong menga in. All of these four ways of like, what do you call it? What do you call it when you make something nicer than it was before? Enhancing the practice of the four. He says, look, it's the same as the four that we usually do. But it makes you more sensitized as to the steps that you're going to have to go through. I wish it should be. I'll do it. Help me out. Okay, you'll get more sensitized to how you're going to have to do it. Okay, Pama Kyan Semjing, Nyupa Peldu, then your capacity gets bigger to have this kind of thinking. Deyang Tam Nyong Ni, I like how he explains equanimity. It's really beautiful. He's going to start on equanimity, and then we'll stop for a break. There's a terrible mistake in the carving. Pam. Where's that name? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Middle of the second line, new. Pumped up. Towards the yeah. See, pumped up. That's a terrible mistake. It should be pama. Okay. Pumped up means investigating ways of screwing people. Seriously, I'm not kidding, and I don't like to curse, but that's what it says. Pamatap means, here it is, when we're on the subject of equanimity, you should feel like a child whose parents are fighting all the time. Okay, pa ma means dad and mom. It was carved wrong as palm, which means to mess somebody over. Okay, so, and this tab doesn't mean method. It's spelled differently, right? And it means fighting with each other. Pama tap means if you're, you should be like a child whose parents are bickering and complaining at each other all the time. And then when you look at people, you should say, how nice it would be if they didn't do that. You see what I mean? That starts equanimity. So it's very moving. You know, you wonder in his childhood was something, you know. Anyway, semjen tamjen chadandan chawe tanyam na chambola gachir daki sangi topo chao. I will try to reach enlightenment so I can help people to not bicker with each other. Okay? And I want to be like a child who somehow magically teaches the parents not to fight with each other. Okay? Not to complain at each other. Okay? Like that. It's very beautiful. Okay, we'll stop there. I mean, I also had, my parents also fought a lot, and I think it's a beautiful metaphor, right? Because that's what's happening in the world. People are bickering with each all the time. And could I help change it? Okay, like that. So please get up and get out, unless it does rain, and take some walk, okay? And we'll start again at 3:15. Okay. Okay. Two announcements. Actually, a bunch of announcements, probably. But one is in our tradition, in our monastery. We have many lamas. Like, you have your Kanten Gergen, which is your house teacher. They make sure you know how to put your robes on. They take care of your bedding, your food, your clothing, right? They're like your Cub Scout mom, Cub Pack Den mother. Geshe Lothar is the best in the monastery. He's done hundreds of young monks. Taught me how to put my robes on, which is difficult, okay, so that they don't fall down. And then you have your Peche Gergen, which is your scripture teachers. Then you have Yigi Gergen, which is your right calligraphy teacher. And then you have your Gom Gergen, which is your meditation teacher. And then you have your Tsawe Lama, which is your own heart teacher. Then you have your Vinaya Gergen, who teaches you about your vows. But every monk is required very strictly in the monastery to have a Ne Lama. Ne Lama means someone you can go to when you're having a crisis. Okay, so they are like a trusted person who may not be a scripture teacher. You know what I mean? They're just good at holding your hand while you're having a breakdown. You know, and they, when you have personal problems, because monks also have lots of personal problems, and then so it's a special person in your life. And you ask them, you go to them and you say, will you be my Ne Lama? Ne means in that place. Lama means Lama. So they are called the Lama who stays nearby. And I like to think of it like I was reading the 12-step thing for Alcoholics Anonymous. And the reason AA is so successful, I think, is because they have the sponsor system where an older person who's recovering and who's got a lot of years without a drink, a first drink, then they take responsibility for a new person who signs up. And then the new person can call them when they're having a crisis at 2 a.m. You know. And there are all these rules in the AA which are interesting. For example, one of the big rules is that they discourage sponsors of opposite sex. They encourage that a male should have a male sponsor, so they don't get into, because they say you have to focus on your problem and not focus on other stuff. So anyway, Ne Lama means that someone you could turn to in a crisis, like a personal guide. They're not your root lama necessarily, okay? They could be. So anyway, people who come to my classes regularly and who start to become a member of the Sangha, I encourage you to have a Nay Lama, okay? And given the Skype is free or pretty much free, they don't have to live. Nay now becomes the whole globe, right? Any place where there's internet is Nay. So I encourage you to look around the room in the next couple of days and see if there's somebody that you feel could be someone that you could turn to when you have doubts or you have problems or, okay? Someone you could Skype with or something like that. And it's a personal thing, and you don't have to tell anybody. You ask them. I discourage having more than 12 people that you're helping as a Nay Lama. If people ask you to be a Nay Lama, I encourage you to only accept up to 12, because then it gets out of hand. You know, you can't really help them. So think about that in the next few days. Look around this room if you don't have a Nay Lama, and ask them. If you see someone that you would like to be your Nay Lama, ask them. The qualifications for a Nay Lama are patience and the willingness to be woken up in the middle of the night and come and help you, okay? It's like that. It's like an AA sponsor, okay? They should just be someone who's very patient and supportive of you, okay? That you can turn to them when you need them, okay? So I encourage you to have a Nay Lama. It's useful for me to know who you've chosen once you've chosen somebody. AA has this rule. You can at any time change to another sponsor. There's no, what do you call it, requirement to stay with one sponsor. If you feel like someone else is, if you meet someone who'd be a better Nay Lama, then you just tell the first one, you know, I and don't be shy about it. And the first one shouldn't feel jealous of the new one or like that. Okay, they should just say, God bless, I'm happy you found someone who helps you more. And if you have some problem, let me know. And like that. So Nay Lama is not permanent. But I think everyone should have one. Okay, so you think about it. And in couples, it's a little bit difficult question. In Diamond Mountain, traditionally, a lot of the couples, you know, we were in spiritual partnerships and we felt like we shouldn't have a Nay Lama outside of our relationship because you can't really talk to people about some stuff. And I think it's becoming maybe clear, or maybe it's becoming evident that it might be useful sometimes to have a Nay Lama who's not your partner. Okay, then you have someone to talk about. You have someone to talk about your partner. Because, you know, half the problems we have are about your partner, right? So then if your partner is your Nay Lama, it doesn't work out, you know. So, you know, you might think about that also, okay? Anyway, I encourage you. And then I like to keep a master list. Rebecca's been keeping it. It helps me. If you write me from Argentina and you're having a crisis, then it would be helpful for me to know who your Nay Lama is, because then I can talk to them and say, you know, what's going on with these people and stuff like that, okay? It's a nice support system. So think about it. Someone you'd like to be your emergency valve, okay? All right. And then tell Rebecca, right?
I'll put like a box or a bag up there. It'll say Nay Lama, and you can just throw it in there with your name and then your Nay Lama's name. Or you can just hand me a piece of paper, whichever you like. And I don't show it to anyone but Geshe-la, so don't worry about that.
Okay. Then something else we had to talk about. Lama Chipa on Friday morning, right? We'll be doing again Lama Chipa, which is a prayer to your lamas. I don't like long, boring prayers. I don't like to put people through that. Having sat through 4-hour, 5-hour prayers at the monastery, where everybody is sleeping on the back of the person in front of them, and only the guys in front are reciting. And then sometimes the guy in front moves, and then it's like, bang, bang. I really don't like long, boring prayers, but I think it's good luck. I think it's important, you know. Maybe someday we should write our own Lama Chipa. that's kind of more Western or more fit us. But in the meantime, it's an honor to read the old style and think about your lama. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing it up is that traditionally, Ken Rinpoche had a rule for Lama Chupa that everybody had to pay $3 or $5. I don't care what it is. You should give, is it, who's going to take the money? Not you, it should be somebody else, a work study. Well, someone you can trust. Okay. All right, Katie. Would you please stand up?
And Adam,
okay. It's just a tradition in our lineage that you chip in for the offerings, okay? And there's a really good bakery in Prescott. You know, right? Grandma's place. She's this old, like, Ukrainian, or I don't know what she is, but she can hardly walk, but she can bake. And you probably have to let her know. But let's all chip in, like, what do you want to say, $5, okay? And give it to them, and then they'll go and buy a bunch of stuff, more than you can eat. We'll have a big pig out before you get on the airplane. Okay. All right, here we go. Nyawe dungyal ne shedip tarme par telwar chawe chir daki sangye topa cha. This is the part, well, first you, I'm sorry, the paragraph above that. Deshin du tsanyawa nam silwe devala gupa ne the next, we finished the equanimity. And it was, it hurts me to see my parents fight. I make a prayer that people will treat each other equally. Okay. Secondly, I want every being to have happiness. And then it's interesting because he says, don't think that the people you can see are all the people there are. Okay, don't think that the people around you are all the people there are. There are many levels of existence that you cannot see. Like the ball of fire, people living in a ball of fire, people living in the dark of space, okay, sustained by karma, in a place where you shouldn't be able to live, there's no air there. So there are people like that. And then when you say, may all beings have happiness, think about the ones that you heard about that you can't see. And that's a very powerful practice. There are spirits in this forest, you know. There was lots of bad stuff happening here too. I mean, this land was native land. All of Arizona was native land, you know. Then the Spaniards came and took it. Then the Anglos came and took it from the Spaniards. And then, you know, it's going like that. There's been struggles over almost all land. And then the people who died on this land are still here. Some of the spirits are still here. So when you say, may all beings have happiness, don't limit it to people you can see. There are lots of other beings around, okay? He says, from the hell realms up, okay? Therefore, each one ends with, I guess there's four really, you know, how nice it would be, it should be, what's that? I'll make it happen. Lama, help me. Therefore, I should become a Buddha. That's how it always ends. The thing always ends with, therefore, I should be a Buddha. I should become a Buddha so I can help those people. The third one, karuna, compassion, is where you're, it's the only one that's expressed negatively, right? You say, how nice it would be if nobody had suffered. You see what I mean? It's negative. So you're going to say here, then you have to start thinking of all the kinds of suffering there are. And he says you can list it from the fireballs that people live inside of, in the hells, right? Up to people who are standing at the ticket counter on Friday in the Phoenix airport. That's called the most subtle form of suffering, is they say, we sold your seat already. And then you are thinking that person couldn't be coming from you. that's the final kind of suffering that you want to take away from people. From the hell realms up to the Phoenix airport ticket counter, I will take away people's trouble. And the trouble at the ticket counter is not that you don't have a seat. It's that you don't understand why you don't have a seat. Okay? All right? Okay. I hope that's not bad luck and someone doesn't get on a plane. Anyway, we'll see. Anyway, at least I'll be prepared. So then these are all to increase your desire to help the whole world. Okay. And I encourage you to think big, okay? The knowledge that you are learning this week is attractive to all people in the world that I've ever met. We've been to, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate. Must have been 70 or 80 countries in the last few years. And no, 20? 25? You make a list. Anyway, we go to many, many countries. And the reaction is universal. We do a weekend retreat. Friday night, everybody's like, Saturday, they're all like, Sunday, they're all like happy and laughing and going, you know, see, in every language, it doesn't matter. Every country is the same, okay? So you are learning something that will enable you to be a world saver person, because what you are learning is universal. People can use it everywhere. People need it everywhere. You are like the only doctor in town, you know? And so learn it. And then it doesn't matter where you go in the world. Every country we've been to, it's the same reaction. It's just the same, you know? And just this gift of this knowledge can make you a person who can act globally, because the knowledge is helpful to everybody, okay? All right. Chir daki sangye Dedai rere nandu yang kibu sumgi lachan sang yu sul yu. Okay, so say kibusum. Kibusum. Kibu means person in this case. Sum means three, okay? The whole Lam Rim, which you haven't gotten to yet. By the way, we're going to get to it maybe by Friday, okay? It's kind of exciting, you know. The whole Lam Rim means complete idiot's guide to enlightenment. From A to Z. Everything you need is in this book. There's nothing you need to get to become an enlightened being that's not here, that we will not cover. It's all here. That's what Lam Rim means, okay? Then there are... the whole Lam Rim is structured around people of three capacities. They're called the three capacities. So we'll just mention it here, but we'll get into it more later, okay? Lowest capacity, what? Yeah, and when I die, I don't want to go to a bad place. Say again?
Better house, better car next life.
Yeah, yeah, better house, better car next life. Then middle capacity? I want to get out of all of the pain that there is, right? Then highest capacity? I don't want any... Yeah. Based on the first... Without rejecting the first two, I want to go more. I want to go beyond that and help everybody else. Okay, those are the three capacities. What he says here is, once you learn the three capacities, you can come back to the four infinite thoughts. And inside there, if you're careful, you can identify the three capacities there. Somewhere in the four infinite thoughts are the three capacities. So it's almost like he's giving you some homework. So I don't want to ruin it by telling you. Okay. O na dir kebu chung lam la loma jambe ngundu semke so chungwa chi yin nyamna. Now there's a debater, right? Someone comes and makes an objection, which is very much Buddhist style, Buddhist writing style. Someone will come and make an objection, and then we have to address that objection. somebody comes and says, we didn't even get to the lowest person's teachings yet. You haven't taught the first level person's teachings yet, right? And you're already giving us the four infinite thoughts, which are third level. Like, you want us, before we start the Lamrim classes, we have to meditate. Before we meditate, we have to do these preparations. In the preparations, we have to do the four infinite thoughts. But that's level three. And you're not going to get to level three for 6 years. You know, why are you talking about it now? Someone's complaining, which is very unusual. Okay. When we cover level one and level two, level one is, I don't want to die and go to a bad place. Level two is, I don't want to go anywhere where there's any kind of suffering. Okay? When we are covering level one and level two, Rang Tsenba Minbar. So Ningbo's been working on Rang Tsen also, right? Rang Tsenba means, don't think level one and level two as they are generally thought to be. Think of them as being practiced on the basis of love, on the basis of wanting to help everyone. Okay? I don't want to go someplace bad after I die because I want to help others. I don't want to have any pain because I want to help others. Okay? Is it wrong to do yoga so you can look good and lose weight, you know, and look trim and attractive? It's not wrong if your motivation is, then more people will come and I can help them. Okay? Like that. That's beautiful. That's fine. Okay? So that to want to be thin and look good, because do yoga because of that, it's a lesser motivation. But if it's charged with a higher motivation, it becomes a higher motivation. I want to look good so people are attracted to me and they come to my class and I tell them why it's not important to look good. Okay. Got it? like that. Okay, not exactly like that. Okay. They give it to me. Dambo ne sem te tsin dambo de ne dambo ne sem te tsi sin gupa. Say tsi sin. Tsi sin is a very unusual expression. It means your mind should be captured by the gooey nectar. Okay? Your mind should be captured by the gooey nectar. Okay? What's that mean? It means everything you do should be infected with the intention to be Spider-Man. Okay? Like you're making the old lady's coffee, right? Okay? You're doing some little stupid thing to help one person. But in your mind, you know, I'm starting a revolution. You know, by the time I get done with this old lady, everyone's going to have an old lady. Okay, got it? And I have my old lady. Nick keeps trying to steal her, but he, so far he didn't. She's like, where's Nikki, Mike? Like, he's busy. Okay, anyway. But even as you stir her coffee, you should think, it should be in the back of your mind that I'm doing something global. This is global. Helping Mrs. Hancock in her apartment on Thomas Road is global activity. Okay, like that. All right. Berna, this is really tough Tibetan, okay? Those of you who care. Where are we, Ningbo? Berna? La tser, okay? 1% of the case, no, 0.01% of the case, time. L-A, which means to, in, or at, or on, means a mountain pass. And here is a case where it means a mountain pass. So you'll struggle with a dictionary and you'll, for a week, and you'll translate it wrong. Okay, so la means, in this rare case, it means a mountain pass. Shang means, Shang is either a corruption of Shar, or it's a kind of a valley. Ri means a mountain, and la means a path. Say it fast together. Shangri-La. Okay, Shangri-La. Okay, that's Tibetan. And that La means mountain path. Okay, got it? So Latser means, Latser Dodo means when you're taking a long hike through the mountains and you reach a mountain pass, it's like you're bicycling across Arizona and you hit one of those 2,000 feet inclines. You know, you see those guys dying on a bicycle trying to get up there. When you're looking up to the top of the pass from the bottom, right? You take the first step up the mountain, but your eyes are where? Your eyes are at the pass, right? Your eyes are up. So it's just, you know, it's true you have to start with the first level. But even from the first step, your eyes are on the path. Your eyes are on the light at the top of the path, right? Okay. Chiku shengne du tomat sang tik tsok tap te. And when you make a painting, a religious painting in Tibetan, a tanka, there are very, very strict rules about the proportions of the ears and the nose of an enlightened being. They are done geometrically. There are rules about how you have to lay down guidelines first. And then the nose has to touch this third line, and the ear has to touch the sixth line, and it has to, okay? Those are called tsangtik. When you make a mandala, which the people are going to do Thursday during the day, they will be doing tsangtiks. They will be, you do certain special geometric lines, and it's all organic. There's no ruler. It's all the body. It's very interesting. Okay, this is a sore, and this is a something, and then these are a true, and then there are four truths to a dom, and the height of a person is equal to the length of their arm span. You see what I mean? And so the whole measurement of the mandala is done from your body. It's very interesting. Okay. Anyway, when you lay out those lines, you're just laying out lines, but in your mind you're seeing a finished Buddha, right? So your eyes are on the mountain pass, but you take the first step. You lay out the lines for the mandala for Thursday night. But you already have a picture in your mind. Rosa already has a, where are you? Vision in her mind of how the colors are going to be. In. She knows, but she's just laying out the first line, okay? Then, okay, here's a... There's a line in the prayers that you do at this point, which I have to get for you, okay? There's a line where you say, I will reach enlightenment quickly, quickly. They say, Nyurwa, Nyurwa, say Nyurwa.
Nyurwa.
Nyurwar. Yandapa. Zope Changchum. Okay, it goes like that. It's a very famous... section of a prayer. But in Buddhist composition, it is very, very strict. You cannot repeat a word without purpose. Okay? You should never, when you're writing a Buddhist book, there's not one extra word. And if there is, they take the manuscript, they get an old dog, they tie it on his tail, and they chase him away. That's how they treat people who are too wordy in Tibet, okay? It's a tradition, okay? Like, you gotta say what you wanna say, and you say it and don't repeat yourself. But there are famous repeats in scripture. The most famous one is the Buddha in the Heart Sutra says, Lekso, Lekso. He says to Shariputra, good job, good job. And he repeats himself, which is illegal. But so whenever a high lama repeats himself, there must be a reason. Okay? In this scripture, when you get to this part, they say, I will reach enlightenment quickly. Quickly. Okay? So then, of course, there's this long argument about why did he say quickly twice. Here's the story. And in there is a lesson for us, as usual. They're not just arguing over some stupid, maybe some guy misprinted it, we don't know. Okay, anyway, here we go. The first quickly means if you practice Tantra, then you can get enlightened in one lifetime. And you cannot in any other way. There's no other way. Okay? There is no other way. According to Buddhism, there is no other way. If you don't, then it will take 3 × 10⁶ eons. Okay? I don't know what that number is, but jillion. Couple jillions, okay? A lot. Okay? So you can reduce it to a single lifetime if you practice the secret teachings. Is the secret teachings all secret sex orgies and cutting off chicken heads and drinking their blood, as the People magazine would want you to believe? Not at all, okay? Secret teachings are that attitude that it's a healthy paranoia that maybe the person sitting next to me is already enlightened. That's one of the bases of Tantra. Okay. The other is what we talked about with dance, okay? That the body is hooked up with the mind. And so there are two levels of Tantra. Level one, I'm giving you Tantra in 1 minute, okay? Level one, which is called Kirim, maybe the person next to me is a Buddha. When you're on the plane, okay? I'll give you a homework assignment. When you're on the plane going home, be suspicious of the people around you, okay? And look for reasons why they might be. We tend to look for reasons why they shouldn't be. Okay, that's level one Tantra. Level two Tantra is that the body is tied to the mind and the mind is tied to the spirit. So if you can work on the inner body, the prana, then you can get enlightened faster. Okay, who's going to teach you to do that? The person you meet at the first level of Tantra. So they're connected. The two levels are connected. First level Tantra, maybe your mom, maybe your sister, maybe your dog is a Buddha already. And if you practice well enough, maybe someday they will tell you how to become what they are. Which involves working with your inner chakras and your channels. Okay? Got it? That's all of Tantra. Okay? Why are we saying that? Because you can get enlightened in one life if you follow that process. And otherwise, it will take a long, long time. Okay? Tunchi la sangyate. Nyurwa nipani, the second quickly, right? That was the first quickly. If you practice Tantra, it's infinitely faster than not practicing Tantra. The second quickly means if you play your cards right, it could be a short life. Okay? What do they mean when they say a short life? They're talking about modern times. Okay? In Buddhist belief, 2012, the lifespans of living beings, and humans in particular, are as short as they'll almost ever get. We are in the worst of times. Okay? We are in the worst of times. The lifespans are short here, 60 years, 50 years. It goes down to 12 eventually, 10 or 12 years old. People die. You know, people lived longer 1 million years ago than they do now. And we just don't have records of it. Okay, we are in the worst times. So the second quickly means even in 2012. Quick even for 2012, which is quicker than usual. If you can get enlightened in the shortest lifespan there is, that's pretty cool. 50 years, 60 years. Okay. you can get enlightened. All right. Don't believe this thing, like, I don't know, based on what? Fossils. That there weren't amazing people around 1,000 years ago. That everyone who lived 1,000 years ago was stupid. Because they didn't know how an iPhone works. You know, maybe they had knowledge that we don't have anymore. Maybe they were special in their own way. We believe that. The Buddhist scriptures, hundreds of thousands of pages, millions of pages, were written down from memory. You know, in the time of the Buddha, people didn't have electronics to make their minds weak. And they memorized as the Buddha taught, and they memorized it correctly. And if you go to the monastery, you can see that. You know, we memorize thousands of pages. You can learn. But it involves giving up modern helpers that are not so helpful, okay? Anyway, don't think that people living 1,000 years ago were somehow stupid. Maybe the people in the Middle Ages had a deeper appreciation of life and of the mystical than we do. Maybe they were more advanced than us. Okay, that's what Buddhists believe. Anyway. Setun la chikwa sangyavate. Namani gyude okma sumdang chimani la meki nyurke yin. The difference between those two quicklies is the difference between the first three classes of Tantra and the last class of Tantra. Okay? The difference between the first three classes of Tantra and the last class of Tantra is that if you practice the first three classes of Tantra, you can get enlightened in a single life. But it might be a very long life, like 1,000 years ago. Some people, when people lived to 200 or 500 years old. Nagarjuna lived to, we believe he lived 900 years. And the second quickly means if you practice Anuttara Yoga Tantra, the highest class of Tantra, you can get enlightened in one short lifetime. Got it? That's quickly. Or, this is on your homework, okay? Pay attention. The two quickly, it's getting confusing, right? And I'm sorry, I mean, if you're new and this is your first trip from Chicago, just, you know what they teach you in the monastery? Don't be proud. They say, don't be proud. And sometimes they take you from your freshman monk class and they force you to go to the seniors class for a week. Okay, they say, Roach, and you say, yeah, and they say, okay, you're assigned to the senior class for a week. And you're like, why? And they say, who are you to ask? You know, like, the monastery has decided that you have to go to the senior class for a week. And you just go. And they've been studying together for 20 years, you know, and you walk into their class, and you sit down, and you have no idea what the hell they're talking about. The whole couple, 3 hours, you have no idea what they're talking about, you know? And you sit there for a week, and you're like, why did the monastery make me sit here, you know? And then, 6 years later, you have a debate, and some idea comes up, and you realize you heard it in the scene. You know what I mean? There's a big thing in the monastery of breaking your pride and making you humble. And they'll say, sit in a class, learn to, don't be so proud like Americans are like, Geshe-la, just explain it to me, you know, just tell me, I don't need all this stuff, you know. And, you know, and there's a thing in Tibetan monastic system of being graceful in your ignorance, you know. And you sit there and you say, I don't know everything that's going on. It's like being in a yoga class that's over your head, you know, and you can get all upset and you can get angry or... You can say, why are they doing handstands? Who needs handstands? You know, in the monastery, they break that. They teach you to be humble and sit there and say, I don't know what the heck they're talking about. Three levels of Tantra, fourth level Tantra. I don't even know what Tantra is. You know, and they teach you to be graceful and sit there and just try to... I go in DCI, I always go to the, I was in your class, right? He spoke in Spanish the whole class. And they teach you in the monastery to go to a class where you don't know a single word what the heck they're saying. And you just go like this. You know? And every minute you hear like, ¿por qué? I know por qué. You know? And, you know, and like that. Like, and it, and then you learn, then something happens in your mind. It's very good to sit and listen to something when you don't know what the heck they're talking about. Because it puts a seed for 10 years later. And that, and that's an accepted educational method in Tibet. Okay, so that's what I'm doing to you. Here we go. You're going to learn Tibetan in your next life, you see. And I will be teaching you. So there's a second way to interpret the two quicklies. There's a second way to interpret the two quicklies. Nyang nyua damuni, or you can say that the first quickly refers to the highest class of Tantra, okay? Anuttara, Yoga, Tantra. And if you use that, you can get enlightened in one lifetime when lifetimes are short. Because it's called Nikdu. Nikdu means in the dark days. These are called the days of dark. These are supposed to be the worst times in history. Okay? Hardest times to be a Buddhist are right now. Nobody cares. They just want to know what's the next movie or, you know, how they can eat more. You know, they have no interest in these things. Okay? And well, anyway, that's a long story. Sangyate. Sa ge ning sum sok dup te chi la me ki keche dang. This is a general quality of the highest class of Tantra. Whether you are belong to any of three Tibetan sects that he mentions. One is Sakya, one is Gelugpa, and one is Nyingmapa. Okay? These are three different Tibetan traditions in Tibet. So all of them accept, they all agree there's Tantra. They all agree there are four classes of Tantra. And they all agree that the highest of the four classes is Anuttara Yoga. And they all agree that if you practice it, you can get enlightened in one lifetime. Why he doesn't mention the Kagyus, which is the fourth tradition of Tibet, I don't know. And you might dig around and find out. Okay. Maybe they don't accept the fourth, but I think they do. I mean, Tsongkhapa was a Kagyu. So I don't know. There must be some reason why he said that. Maybe he's treating Gelugpa as an offshoot of the Kagyu. I don't know. Anyway, Sumsok Dupta Chinlami Kichidam. Nyurwa Chima. Now we're on the second quickly of the second set of quickly quicklies. Okay? Got it? Are we all right on that? Okay. The first set of quickly quickly was you can get. In general, you can get enlightened in one lifetime if you use Tantra, the first three classes of Tantra. But if you use the highest class of Tantra, you can get enlightened in a shorter lifetime. Now, the second set of two quicklies, the first quickly means you can get enlightened in one short lifetime if you practice the fourth class of Tantra. So that's the same as the second quickly of the first set of quicklies. The first quickly of the second set of quicklies is the same as the second quickly of the first set of quicklies. Okay, got it? Don't stress. It's all right. You can still get enlightened if you don't know this thing. But, now here's the but, okay? He says, but, in the oral tradition of the Gelugpa. The Gelugpa is the Dalai Lama's lineage, okay? Which started in 1409 or something, okay? Our lineage is the Dalai Lama's lineage, okay? So, you are studying the Dalai Lama's lineage, which is called Gelugpa or Gandenba or Gendenba. Okay. In the oral tradition of our lineage, Mengak Tar, if your practice is based on having a heart teacher, if your practice is centered around a heart teacher, any heart teacher, you decide who it is. But if you base your whole practice on a heart teacher, your heart teacher, okay? Sokche, Yidam Sangde Jiksum Yamato and Nyamsun Langna. And then you practice the tantras which are traditional for our lineage, which for our immediate lineage is Vajrayogini. Okay? Then, Mi Lo Junit Sam Lat Sang Yawala Che. You can get enlightened in 12 years. Okay? 12 years. 1, 2, 12. Yeah. Okay. To you, it just sounds like some philosophical, like blah, blah, but it's a big deal, okay? I don't know. It's rather than billions of years, 12. Okay? Rather than billions of years, 12. Okay? Why is that important? I think that most people find it important because people they love are suffering. And I hear a lot of people say, my parents don't have much time. See, I mean, I'm okay, I'm like 20 or I'm 30, but I'm worried about my parents, you know. They're getting old. And is there something I can do for them? And I think from that point of view, 12 is better than a billion. You see what I mean? It matters to someone who's in a hurry and who wants to help somebody else. You know, if I can become a Buddha in 12 years, then yeah, I could help somebody. I know people I could help. I know people who don't have time. So if you can cut the time off the time it takes you to become a Buddha, then that's you should try. Right? So what's that saying? To have a proper relationship with a personal teacher. And I'm not selling myself. I'm busy, trust me. I don't need another 1,000 students, you know what I mean? Find your heart teacher. Have the correct relationship with them. You can get enlightened in 12 years. Okay? That's the claim. I'm just reporting the claim. I believe it. If you don't believe it, it's okay. You're not going to get kicked out, okay? That's what the book says. And I believe that also. In this tradition, the Dalai Lama's tradition, it's all based on finding your heart teacher and having the right relationship with them. Then you can make extraordinary progress. I think, Elisa Monte, part of why I enjoyed your talk yesterday was I think I can say almost every person I've ever met who was a very inspiring teacher says the same thing. I was lucky. She said yesterday, what'd she say? I was lucky I met extraordinary teachers. I had extraordinary teachers. So anyone who's really, really good at what they do, if you question them, they'll say, it's because I ran into Ken Rinpoche when I was 20 years old. You know, I had 25 years living with him, you know, teaching constantly, 25 years, you know. And you need that. You need if your goal is to become enlightened, then you need that. You need a heart teacher. If you want to be a good piano player, somebody asked me, I want to be a filmmaker. I want to be a good filmmaker. I said, you make coffee. You learn to make coffee. And they're like, what are you talking about? This is some lady came to me long, I don't know, 20 years ago. She's the one who made the Xerox video. I'll show it to you sometime. About our computer project, Xerox Corporation, Walter Cronkite's company. So she's like, how do I get to be a great filmmaker? I said, learn to make coffee. She said, what are you talking about? I said, pick the filmmaker in the world that you think is the greatest one, the greatest living filmmaker in the world. Pick them. Then go ask them if they'll teach you. And they'll say, I don't have time. I mean, you know, even if you had $1 zillion, I'm making million-dollar movies. I don't have time to sit there and teach somebody how to make films. Then you say, can I make coffee for you? Can I follow you around like a dog and make coffee for you, you know? I told her that, and she did it. And now she's a very, very famous filmmaker now, okay? Find the master at what you want to learn, and then get in somehow. You know, if they don't like coffee, try hot chocolate. I mean, you know. You know, just say, can I just hang around while you make the movies? Can I just watch, you know, I'll make coffee, I'll be your gopher. Then go get a waitressing job at night when he's asleep or she's asleep, okay? And make money, live that way. And then during the day, work for free for them and watch how they make movies. And then they'll say, could you hold the camera? I got a pee-pee, you know? And then you're like, oh. And then, you know, sooner or later, they'll say, okay, you're my assistant, all right? They'll teach you by being with them. You see what I mean? So get in somehow. Okay, like that. Then you can get enlightened in 12 years according to this scripture. Yidam sang de jiksum yamanasan sangyawala chit. We have about 10 more minutes, so hang in there. I know the afternoons are the hardest. Nyamlen cheken kone puwa ma tok. Gyawat sonsubi. So, say nyamlen. Chicken, kone, pungwa, mato. So you got the pungwa over there, Ning? So there's pungwa, okay? You know pungbo. Pungbo means, skanda means the five parts of a person that you, when you are born. That's pungbo. Pungwa has nothing to do with that, okay? Pungwa means ruined, okay? Pungwa means ruined. Nyamlan Cheken means the person who's the practitioner. The person who's supposed to be putting it into practice. Kona means only they can screw up the process. Okay? The teachings are perfect. The teacher is, the relationship is perfect. The teacher you choose has the power to help you. The only way you can mess, the only way you can not get enlightened in 12 years is if you screw up from your side. That's what he's saying, okay? Like, the system is good. The system is flawless. This whole system of, you have to find the best filmmaker, and then you have to stick around them. It's like dance, right? The system is perfect. The guru system, okay? I don't like the word guru because in America it means something bad. It means some guy who has 50 Rolls Royces and is having sex with all his students. In India, it's a very holy, holy word. Guru means rabbi, right? It means my teacher. Jesus was called rabbi by all his students. Rabbi. Oh, rabbi, you know. It's a very holy word. The whole basis of this system is to find a truly qualified teacher and to submit to them. And I'm not afraid to say it even to People magazine, okay? It's true. You have to study, what do you call it? You have to study that teacher before you propose a relationship with them. You have to say, check them out. It's tradition to check them out for up to 7 years. And talk to their students, talk to people who know them, watch them. You know, the movie maker you're going to choose, take your time and choose them carefully. But in the end, choosing the right one for you, and everyone's different, and then having the correct relationship with them is the only way to get enlightened quickly, okay? And I'm not afraid, Minjikpa, I'm not afraid to say it, okay? That's the way it is. Okay, and it always has been that way. Lama matok, so you can fail the system, but the system won't fail you. Okay? That's the point he's making. And there are big screw-ups, and you've seen some, and it's possible. But it's not that the system is bad. The people failed the system. They didn't follow the system. They didn't follow the program, okay? Gyawat song kape kasu nyengo dilang ngungi jatsan nila dang. As far as the system that we follow, the Dalai Lama system, which started with Tsongkhapa, the teacher of the first Dalai Lama, kache nyunat sangya wala losam ne mingor sen tu. So there's a tradition of a Lama of the Lam Rim, who I believe lived in the 1700s. There's no dates for him. His name is Trungpa Thapukpa. Tungpa Takpupa. He said, if you follow Jetsongkhapa's system, and if you work your butt off, he didn't say exactly that, okay? But it's similar. If you work extremely hard, like Jetsun Mila, who's Jetsun Mila? Milarepa, okay? If you work as hard as Milarepa did, or Gutsangpa, which is a very famous yogi shortly after Milarepa, if you work as hard as they did, Lo Sum, 3 years. Le Mingor. Mingor means it won't take longer than that. It won't take longer than 3 years. Okay. Somebody said that in our lineage. Okay. De Sheje Kyan. Sheje means, do we have any evidence of such people in our times? Okay, Sheje means no were, and it means evidence. Is there any evidence of such? Can you prove it? Show me a person who got enlightened in 3 years. Okay, that's basically he's saying. Oh, when Sapa Yabse so Genden Kagyu Koman Nam Kache Ningru Mi Gopat Sechik La Sangya Kesar Shepa Mangduchum Watare. There are many people in our immediate lineage who have become enlightened without a lot of effort. And he points out to Wensapa. Okay, so Wensapa was a lama. I don't know his dates. I think he's about 300 or 400 years ago. Not really recent, okay? But it's a tradition that he got enlightened in his lifetime. And when he died, he left behind certain little relics. Like, they looked like little pieces of ivory. Little shots of ivory. And Darcy was in charge of a project to take those relics around the world, I think. Yeah. Lama Supa made a project to... He got some of those relics and other lamas, and they went around the world with them. And they just showed them to people. They had an exhibition. And it's cool because I meet so many people around the world who say, I don't know anything about Buddhism, but I went to this thing. You know, and they had all these little ivory-looking things, and it was so cool. And it changed a lot of people's minds. Strange. It was really strange. Anyway, they had a relic of Wensapa. Rumi Jusichi, the Sangha Kisar Shepa, Mangduchum Watare. Denam ni nyur lam luki kyabsen jatsul yinla. Everything I'm telling you so far is how to develop bodhicitta. Where are you going to develop bodhicitta? Stirring coffee at the Starbucks for the old lady. Okay. That's all according to a lam rim called nyurlam. Nyurlam means fast path, fast track. Okay, there's a lam rim called fast track. Everything we've said so far, all of the descriptions are coming from one lam rim tradition called fast track. Okay. Shalung ugyuki luk dir sokshin le kyabyu lok su sanda luk ma sungshin. But there is another lam rim tradition from the fifth Dalai Lama, which is called Jambel Shalom. It means the word of Manjushri. That has different lineages, Central Tibetan lineage and South Tibetan lineage. Okay, in the Central Tibetan lineage, they don't have a separate visualization for taking refuge and for what we're going to call Tsok Tsokpa. We're going to get to that later. Making good karma. The garden. It's called the garden. Okay? There's a visualization called the garden. And there's a visualization called taking refuge. You just finished the visualization for taking refuge. This whole schmeal from the nectar stuff up to the splitting up the Buddhas is one system of doing it. And there are other systems. Okay? After in the system we're working on, after that, you're supposed to visualize the garden. There's a thing called the garden. And we didn't get to it yet. And we'll get to it tonight, tomorrow, next day, okay? Anyway, in some systems, they don't have a separate visualization. The garden and going for shelter are the same thing. They do it all with one group of lamas, one group of visualizations. Okay? And that's the system of the fifth Dalai Lama. Okay? In central Tibet, Lhasa Sada Luma Sumshin. Fogyuki Lukder, but we're studying southern system. Sokshin Le Lokso Kyabyo Ngama Dang Mindrawa Shik Sungte. You should have a different visualization called the garden. Now we should go to another visualization called the garden. When are you doing these things? Before you meditate. This is all before you do a meditation. These are pre-meditations. I like to watch the Olympics because, you know, they spend like hours. They go to the warm-up pool, and then they go to the second warm-up pool, and then they stretch, you know. And that's just like meditation. The warm-up takes longer than the race. Okay? And that's the way it should be. We got 5 minutes. Let's see. Gyuki Sungyun Mindrawa Shi Yimbar Nge. So there are definitely different systems. De Jita Sandap Tsulni. I'm going to tell you how to visualize according to that system, which is slightly different. And I think we better save it. Okay? I think we better save it. Because it would overwhelm your head. And mine also. But you can do your homework 7 now, most of it. First 3 questions, I think. 7. We're on 7 already. But I'm out for a day, so you can catch up. All right. First 4 questions on homework 7, you can finish now. Okay? 3. You'll see.
They won't be here soon.
Oh, they won't be here soon. Okay. We're about to get into a discussion of protector guardian angels for the Lam Rim teachings. There are 3 guardian angels who protect these particular teachings. And we'll talk, you'll get to know them. I'll introduce them to you and you get to know them. Okay? Useful people to know. Because you always have trouble. If you don't practice when you get home, you'll be okay. If you try to practice, something will happen. And then you need a guard, you need a protector. Okay. So there are three enlightened beings who agreed to protect these teachings. Okay? And I'll introduce them to you next time. Okay. Do you have announcements? Let's do a mandala before that, because then I can run away. Tahir, are you good? Okay, loud.
Pugi Joshi Metodam Rira Mishi Inde Gempadi Sangye Shindu Mite Uwagi Doku Nanda Shila Shupa Hiram Guru Rana Manda Kami Atayami Dike Ogun Sunam Yeshe Sosokshin Sunam Yeshe Lechungwe Dhamba Kuni Tobasho.
Okay.